Welcome to Caribbean Millennials. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 15 of the Caribbean Millennials podcast.
Episode 15. This is momentous.
Yeah, somewhat momentous. I wish we could be here a little bit on more of a joyous note, but based on kind of the events of this week, we kind of wanted to, give focus and...
Just have a conversation about what's going on.
So for those of you who don't know or haven't seen it on the news as yet, this week, a young St. Lucian guy who was 26 years old, Botham Je, was shot and killed by a police officer who was trying to get into his apartment and thought it was her apartment, and shot and killed him. Botham is somebody that all three of us knew.
Yeah, we all knew him.
He went to school with Vernon Anadani.
Yeah, he was 2 years below us.
He was the same year as me. He lived here in Dallas, where Vernon and I live. And, I even had met him for a happy hour earlier this year. We have mutual friends and that kind of thing. Yeah. So, it definitely hit close to home, closer than any of us, would have liked or wished
for. Yeah, I mean, we as Caribbean people living in the U.S., we see this happen all the time, black people getting shot and killed by the police, and you're just thinking to yourself, well, it's black Americans getting shot. Mm-hmm. You never thought one day you'd wake up and you hear somebody that you knew from back home is one of the people who got shot.
Right, or you think it's like somebody who's behaving stupid or somebody who's like out on the streets and,
Well, I mean...
Not in the streets, but in the world.
I get what you're saying, but I personally not even taking behavior into account for it, because a lot of times these people, and when the police shooting people, they will not necessarily behaving badly. Most of the times they complying or something.
Right.
But they always go with this, I fear for my life thing. I mean, you're a police officer trained with a gun. I don't know what you're fearing for your life, but...
Yeah, but the difference in, this instance was that he was in his home. He wasn't in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, it wasn't about I'm in the wrong place. I'm at my home. You would think you're safest at your home.
Right.
Yeah.
So, the whole situation is just unfortunate and bizarre. But for us, even following the story, there have been some things we kind of want to discuss. And
it's the whole story, it's been more, I won't say angering, upsetting. And I say upsetting from the point of the bad job that's being done in social media.
Well, I think you need to take it phase by phase, right? So, from the moment the story broke, there wasn't any, thing of his name or anything like that, right?
Okay. And I understand, yes, everyone's like, yeah, they didn't put his name in the story and whatnot. But you have to understand, from what I read, one of the stories I read, they hadn't identified him yet.
Okay.
So I want to believe it was just because they hadn't identified him yet. And you have to remember, a lot of these news sites, they don't just go and put stuff up there. And then, because it's bad if you put the wrong information and you have to go and take it back. So I suppose they do need time to vet the information before they go and put the name out there.
So that's one thing.
Because you saw as the name came out, then they started to put more where he worked, what school, and more and more information started to be
at. They certainly fixed that. But another thing is all of the sympathy in the narrative the police officer.
Yeah, because that was my issue. In that about, she had just worked a 14-hour shift and she was in her full uniform. And it's like, what does that have to do with anything?
Mm-hmm.
She entered his apartment.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yeah. You really? Enter his, whether you enter his apartment in full uniform, half uniform, naked, you enter his apartment and you shot and killed him.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, they were already putting down the groundwork for, you know, like
the sympathy for her.
And yeah. This is not her fault. Yeah. This is, yeah, she was working long hours. You know, she have a stressful job. Her apartment high up, you know, on many floors.
Let me tell you something. If a surgeon working long hours kills somebody, you know they will charge him with murder.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Same thing for a truck driver.
They don't care about you murder somebody.
And the thing is,
pilot.
Some of the people who were tweeting were like, if it was him, you know, and he was coming home from a long day and shot somebody, right?
Nobody would say anything about him. He worked a long day and he was stressed and then
right.
That.
So that,
and they definitely wouldn't have taken so long to release a name.
Now, the whole releasing of a name thing, I understand that. Well, so there are two things there, right? One, that they had first categorized it and were, they had categorized it and were treating it as a officer involved shooting when that's not what it was, because it was, she was off duty.
It's not only she was off duty, she didn't get shot.
Right. And it,
nobody shot
no, but
at her.
No, but she is, yeah, but from yeah, what no, I understand, I you know, an officer yeah. involved shooting is, you know, when you're on duty, when you work in a job, right? So when they realized and pivoted to like, oh shit, it's not an officer involved shooting, but it's, you know, something else, right? An officer, you know, murdering somebody. That's when they started changing the procedures, and generally they do not release people's names until they charge them. But
I
would like to say they do not release normal people's names until they charge them. If you're black, your name gets released whether you charge or not. I don't know if you saw this earlier in the week, but a guy police were just looking for questioning, his ID and his name were put into Twitter by Fox News.
So that's the, as you said that, it made me remember when there was the shooting in Dallas where there was a sniper, right, shooting into a crowd of protesters, and they thought it was this black guy, and they plastered his face over, saying, this is the guy that we're looking for.
The commonality in America is when you're black, not afforded the same, you're not afforded the same.
I hear what you're saying.
As others.
I hear what you're saying, and I kind of agree, but at the same time, I kind of disagree. Because, I mean, think about it. If you have a manhunt and you're looking for someone, you have to release a picture and a name.
But when they had the Vegas shooting, the Vegas mass shooting, and there was that, it was that crazy white guy, they did not release his picture.
What I am saying is, I don't really want to speculate on that. I don't know the exact procedure for that. I don't want to speculate and give the wrong information.
What I am saying is it looks mighty like when you one color, you get one treatment. No, and when you another color,
you, on that one
you get another treatment. I'm speculating there. I just throwing that into the
room. Guys, we speculating there. We just, you know, we ran in with it, but don't take our word for gospel here on this, you know.
We're just sharing our thoughts and our opinion on this.
Yeah.
Right? So, we were saying in the media coverage and stuff, it was, it felt as if, you know, they were clearly trying to make her a victim, in a sense. Vernon, you have something?
I was just looking, you know, because you were talking about officer-involved shooting. I wanted to find out, exact meaning. And one thing that came up, they said the term is exclusively used to refer to shootings committed by police, not shootings committed by other people where police are present.
Okay.
So,
but it's still on the job?
No, it's not saying about whether it's on the job or not.
Okay.
Yeah. That's... whether Yeah, because it's saying beyond that, no standard definition exists, and usage differs regarding whether the shooting must be intentional, whether the person must be hit, whether the officer must be on duty at the time.
It was valid for them to call it an officer involved shooting.
It seems like it is.
Until they realized what happened. Yeah, because
International Association of Chiefs of Police, their definition is a discharge of a service weapon by an officer during a hostile encounter or an accidental discharge while on duty or off duty, irrespective of injuries to suspect officers or third parties.
It sounded like none of those things.
So it's all over the place. That's the thing. A lot of these things they spew in. They have a lot of like gray areas to it, mm-hmm. and I feel like they're using it to be able to give themselves wiggle room.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, they waited how long to
drug test her?
Mm-hmm. Stories are saying that she volunteered and willingly went for a drug test or whatever, a blood test and whatnot.
But that's also trying to show that she is, you know,
cooperating and she's sympathetic and she's sorry. But then other stories were saying they waited a good while to do it. And I know, and you may say, how would you know this, villain? You know, maybe you just crazy, whatever. But all my time searching on the internet, you know, spend my time there. They say a lot of times you wait, you draw it out as long as possible. So whatever is in your system can be as, when they do the blood test, it wouldn't be as prominent. So let's say your blood alcohol level was really high. They'll test you. It may still be high when they test you, but it won't be as high as it was at the time of whatever you did.
My hunch in the whole scenario is that she was off duty and she was drunk or something like that. Got off on the wrong floor. I don't know. Based on even the videos and stuff you saw online, they had advanced locks on the doors, right? So you put in a key fob,
yeah,
and it either blinks red or green if it's yours. And if it's green, it will allow you to turn it. But if it's not green, it will not turn or anything like that.
That's your thing. She was drunk.
I think it's either that or, okay, was she tired or whatever?
Because my thing is, I'm not making excuses for her. At the end of the day, somebody's still dead.
Because the thing that makes me think she was drunk is the whole getting off on the wrong floor.
No,
thing.
The only
time I ever got off on the wrong floor is if I was drunk.
Nah, because it's happened to me already. Well, that's you. It's happened to me already. I'm on my phone, I'm not paying attention. It stops and I get off on the floor. Or I'm a bit tired.
But for you to be trying or tired.
Okay. Exactly, because that's my thing. Because I'm not making an excuse because I didn't know that somebody's dead.
I don't believe they're tired.
You didn't have to reach for a gun. You could have tased him.
Don't even believe the tired angle, to be honest. Like, I have been tired.
Okay.
Right? Like, drive 13, 14, 15 hours straight tired.
Let me ask you that.
I was able to find my room in a hotel I'd never been to.
Yes.
I was able to find my floor in a hotel I had never seen before.
Adani, but let me ask you
and
a question.
When I put my key in the door and it did not unlock the first time, because you know how hotel keys can be, especially when you're in a cheaper hotel. Sometimes it's flashing red. I was like, okay, I have the wrong door. Let me make sure I have the right door. Look left, look right, that's the right floor, that's the right door. Try again. Okay, it works. I have the right door.
I'm not justifying what the lady did.
We're not saying that. But
we're just giving you a different angle.
Yes, and that's why I giving you all a different angle as well, because you're saying you don't believe the tired angle. So let me ask you that. You're ever driving and you're tired and you'll reach a place and be like, oh my God, I hear already. Like, you black out and it could happen.
Every day on my drive to
That's me. What I'm saying. while it may not have been what had happened, or it could be something else, it's a possibility.
But I understand your point, but my question to you is, when you driving home or you're that tired, right, and you reach the place, right, that you are familiar with, right? The place you reach is not somewhere totally different. When you say you hear it, you're like, hey, I actually reach home. I even check I reach home.
But me see,
you didn't reach two apartment complexes down the road. You reach home.
Me see, you're never you move on. Hear that? Hear my thing. Because I was reading one of the articles there this afternoon, and they were saying, oh, how she got off on the, she lived on the 13th floor, and she got off on the 14th floor, and she walked to the door and whatnot. Let me ask you that. You ever move like you're on autopilot? You're just moving, you're going. So, in your mind, you know your apartment door. In your mind, you know your apartment door is 5 doors from the elevator when you get off the elevator. You're not paying attention. Your head down. Maybe you're tired. You're in your phone. The elevator stops. You just walk out of it as soon as the door opens. And you know, 5 doors, that's my apartment. You start walking. You reach 5 doors. You put the thing in.
But
it starts to
break. But that's
red.
The thing. When something different happens outside of the usual, that's when you snap out of autopilot. So the moment you put in the key and you see the red flash and you try it, that shakes you up. At least for me, when I'm on autopilot, when there's a shift in the matrix,
My thing is there,
I'm giving you all a scenario here, Missy.
Why?
I understand.
Listen to the rest of the scenario.
Okay.
Listen to the rest of the scenario. Okay? So you live in that apartment complex for how long? Your customer...
One month.
She living there for 1 month?
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. In that month, you living in that apartment complex. You've had issues with your key fob. In that you reach there and it doesn't work. Somehow it demagnetizing because you have a million keys or you have all kind of things around it. It keep demagnetizing. So it keep doing that. So you start going, it's a thing, it's that same shit again. I tired, I want to go inside. Let me just bang on the door for the person who I probably living with to hurry up and come and open the door to let me in. I go deliver that
but
tomorrow.
But we don't know that she was living with
her. But that's the thing. I just giving your, because, hear that. All of that you're going to hear, all that speculation you're going to hear online, you know,
I just speculated if what we know.
Yeah.
So I don't like.
And you are so many new.
Yeah, yeah. But that's why I'm showing you all what they're going to do. That's exactly what they're going to do.
Right.
They're going to come and add new variables for y'all. And this is what has been upsetting me about this situation. They're going to add new variables, but we on social media making it easy for them by adding new variables ourselves. Because we are
let's pivot to that, right? So this happened, the cops had started work, you know, on it, the media started updating the stories and whatnot, and then social media kicked in.
Yeah.
Right? So people on social media started sharing their opinions, conspiracy theories.
So the first thing people start saying, oh, that sounds like a lover's spark.
And saying about how, oh,
they must have been in a relationship because why would she go there?
And that's why he opened the door for her.
And whatever, yeah.
But the thing is, you know, if you in your apartment and you hear somebody fiddle with the door, you look into the people and you see a cop, you know, your instinct might be to
open
the door, right?
Exactly.
What is, you know, is
well,
like
well
an
for
agency,
me, for me, I would open the door. Officer, is there a problem? But we don't know if he said that.
So that's the other thing.
But he opened the door and it got shot. So.
Exactly.
Well, and that's the thing, right? We, up to now in the story, they have been so shady in releasing details. We don't know if he was shot in the doorway. We don't know if they had any kind of communication.
From what I'm reading, the multiple articles I've read, they're saying it was right there in the doorway.
Mm.
But then others saying others making it seem like it's not
that,
it seem like it's too short in the chest. So it's strange.
So even all of that.
But
like,
then I saw a picture of her standing in a doorway, and somebody claimed that was soon after the shooting, and she was on the phone.
Yeah, it's a lot of misinformation going around.
I think there's a lot of emotion involved,
and
there are videos that after the thing she was pacing up and down.
But here's my thing: we making it easy for them to come and just flip whatever story when they want eventually by spewing all of this stuff out there instead of waiting for the actual facts. Like, I'm not saying they have anything wrong speculating, but you have to be careful with how you speculating, or better, how you putting your speculations out there.
So,
because when you go and you start circulating a picture
so
of him,
give that example,
with three females and saying about, oh, one of the females in the picture is the police officer and he has a relationship with her. My thing is, when I saw that, my first question is, how y'all know that if y'all don't even know her name?
Uh-huh.
Y'all hadn't known her name.
And in the picture, none of the girls were tagged or anything like that.
None of the girls tagged or anything. So how y'all know that?
For people to go and, you know, look up names and see, oh, this is a police officer.
And then furthermore, the person who shared the picture, below it, somebody came and said, that's wrong. That's him with three of his co-workers.
Mm-hmm.
So immediately you went there and you put something out there already and share, and now everybody out and here sharing it, sharing it, and they keep sharing it in the same thing. Story.
And that's the thing, you know, my thing with people and all of this, call it sensationalism, you know, not a Danny, is, you know, what is your intent?
Yeah.
Are you doing it because you think you're bringing justice? Are you doing
or
it
you just because you want to be a part of the source?
Are you saying something because you want the likes and follows and retweets?
Yeah,
you just
want to be in the source.
Because they felt like there are so many people who, like, on social media that they were, like, taking it, oh, yes, we're justice for both of them, justice for both of them. And they're not, like, really looking at, you know, the bigger picture, right? Like, how does gossip and speculation provide any justice for him? How does gossip and speculation share who he was as a person, you know?
Now,
and
you
how
see,
unfortunate,
yeah.
you know,
now
that was to
that is one
to
thing
him.
I commend a lot of people for, because when it came out, a lot of people did this thing where they went out there and, like, they just shared good stories about him.
Yeah, because there were only good stories to share about him.
No. I'm not saying.
No,
yeah.
No. But I like that because that's setting your own narrative, right?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Because like, nobody cannot come and look for any kind of
exactly
bad school report or bad this or bad that.
Because we know the
media, they're good at that.
Yes. Like, you ever notice when the media are ready to destroy you, when you do something, they always find the worst mugshot of you and they're finding up, so they're digging up some dirt, some bad thing you did how many millions of years ago to come with.
But give both of them that.
But they had nothing they could have digged up on the man.
Give both of them that. He didn't share very much on social media. And the things that he did were always of, you know, I mean, he's in a suit, he's in a this, he's doing something for church, he's, you know. There were only positive things now. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, to me, instead of going and, spread this speculation, oh, he has a relationship with her and all these kind of things, share the good stories, Missy, and just wait for the facts to come out.
You know a nasty one I saw as well? Somebody shared a picture of him and a guy in the background pointing or doing some silliness, and two girls standing up in the front, like, posing for the picture. And the lady in her tweet said something along the lines of, he knew the cop or whatever, they were dating, blah, 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 blah. But how she phrased the sentence made it seem as if that picture that she posted showed
the picture of him and the girl. Yeah.
But the girl one of the girls who was in the picture was like, you need to stop this. This was a picture from us in college. I'm not a cop, like, da, 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 da. And she's like, I can share any photo of him I want. Like, people need to know and remember his face and da, 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 da. But the woman didn't even know him and more or less combating with somebody who was actually his friend. Yeah. And it's like people not being sensitive to the actual world that we live in, right? So in order to, like, break the story and, like, provide information, okay, yes, they threw out the name that people did their research or whatever, say, oh, the cop's name is Amber, whatever, Gaino or something like that, right?
Nobody
cares. And, but let's say if that wasn't the cop's name and if that was wrong information, then somebody could go and look for the Amber Gaino person and that person's life could be in danger.
Or just from the picture, just try and, like, search the person's name based on the picture.
Well, you see, here's the thing.
Or even the picture of the three girls on the left is the cop. If so, and people see the girl
that's what I was about to say. Because that's the thing with social media, especially places like Twitter, they're very good at being detectives there.
Mm-hmm.
They just find people's phone number in a heartbeat. You remember when, every month, some stupid little white girl putting out some video of her saying some racist comment, and in no time, Twitter finding her name, her address, everything, and getting her dropped with scholarships and kicked out and this and that. So the same way they can do that for someone that they put in the picture, get their number, and the next thing you know, the person getting death threats, getting random calls, life and living hell.
For an error.
For an error. Like, I get that some people, you know, maybe they don't have no bad intentions, you know, they just want justice so bad and whatnot. But maybe, you know, you need to do like the news sites. Fact check. Before you go and put out the fake news, because that's basically what you're doing, do some fact checking. Make sure your thing is 100% solid before you act on it.
And people were not tweeting and saying, they were saying, yes, this is it. This is the fact. They were not saying, hey guys, this is what I found. I think it might be this. They were not saying that at all. You know, they were not trying and crowdsource a solution. You know, they were saying, that is what it is, right?
It's interesting.
So it's just some really nasty, you know, things that take away from the whole, like, sentiment of the situation at all.
The whole thing, especially the social media aspect, it angered me more than anything else.
I had to take a break from it because I was just like so turned off. So like,
yeah,
it was just getting me angrier and angrier to see all of these social media heroes out there and even people who have endless followers and verified sharing like false information and that kind of thing, right?
It's sad. It's a sad, sad thing. But, I mean, what you can do? Just draw attention and hope people will do better. That's all. I mean, then again, maybe we can just hope somebody will not get shot
right
by a police officer for no reason. So, yeah. But, I mean, I hope that they, you know, give more information and they solve this quickly. That's my thing. Although, in my opinion, it's like, how much investigating is there to do? Because you'll say you'll start investigating and you'll say you're handing it over to the Texas Rangers and they're doing their investigation and whatnot. But it's like, how much investigating is there to actually
do? When it's only like, two people involved.
It's cut and dry, wrong apartment, he opened the door, she shot him.
Okay, so just on that, right? Because the other component of it is that they started saying about, how they're going to charge her for manslaughter.
Well, just now, before you even get on that, another thing I saw a story, an article, and even the information that they're giving in the article, it was very upsetting. Like, why you have to say about how many hours she worked and she was in full uniform, but why also you have to say, because one of them even said something about he answered the door. He was in his boxes.
But that's more fake news. We don't know that's true.
Whether it's true or not, it has nothing to do with it. What's relevant? And okay, let's say it's relevant. It's bad. It looks bad for her because you mean to tell me, let's say you thought it was your apartment, you thought it was an intruder. The intruder's so bold, he opened the door for you in his boxes.
But even if he's in his boxers, you can see, and he lunge at you, you know he don't have no weapon, you know? Well.
Unless he pack it. Right, but
we're wrong.
But still, you mean to tell me, an intruder so bold?
To just
open the door for you, like, yeah, I know how to.
You know, and we have not talked about this at all, but this was, you know, obviously the big part of it. But did she shoot him because he was a black man? So if a white man opened the door, a white woman opened the door, what would have happened?
Yeah. They would still be alive.
Possibly.
No, they would still be alive. There's something about black people that just makes the white brain terrified. Especially a police officer, there's something about a black man.
Ooh.
Like, it just, you know.
No, I laugh because it's
like,
true.
No, literally. Like, I have been stopped by police, right? My hand on the steering wheel. And they will literally say something about, why your hands on the steering wheel? You're making me feel nervous. And like, nigga.
Like, where are you supposed to put your hand?
Where are you getting this from? Like, yeah, literally, I've been stopped, put my hand on the steering wheel. Like, do you have any weapons? Your hand on the steering wheel, you're making me nervous. Like, what? Are you serious?
Talk about reaching.
Like, yeah, like, whoa. I've seen how this goes. Stop. Just let's start over again.
My name is Bob.
Right? What are we doing here? Like, it's ridiculous. It's really ridiculous. And my thing is, right, you didn't taste the person.
That's my next thing. Like, why do we always have to go for a gun, Missy? You're not a taser. You're not pepper spray.
Take
your battle out and hit him with it behind him.
You know why she probably didn't go for her taser? Because you saw whatever on her record that she was involved in before. She had tased the man, and the man took her taser from her, and then she took out her gun and shot him in the abdomen. Right?
One time.
Once he took her taser. Now, this person was resisting arrest or something like that, and he was on drugs or whatever. But maybe for her, after that experience, she don't want to use her. She rather use her.
But you know, by that logic, and it's something I've been thinking about for a while. Honestly, I feel like a police officer getting an incident, just you off the force. Become a paper pusher, you can't go out in the field again. Because it seems like all police officers up here in the States, they just scarred, they forever have PTSD, they always want to, they fear for their life, because it's happened to them before already. Like, not every situation is the same. You don't always have to pull a gun, tase, pepper spray, throw a battle behind him for all I care.
But hold on, let me say
walk away, go down and call somebody and say, hey, there's somebody in my apartment.
Let me say something. Thing, if he opens the door and you think he's
talk to him.
Run away if you really think you're in danger. If you ran away and he didn't run after you, right?
Like, I feel like that, like, shooting has become the first option. Mm-hmm. It's not like I go to talk to you. I go to try and de-escalate the situation. Is, oh my god, you make a certain moment, I go to empty this entire clip in you.
And the thing is, right, it's mainly like American police. Like, any majority of the other first world countries you go to, the police, they talk to them.
A police officer in the Caribbean will get in a fist fight with you before they shoot you.
But even I don't remember what country it is, but the cops on the cops on the street only allowed to have a battle.
Wow, baddest police officer.
I remember seeing a British video where the cops, like, a guy had a gun and they were literally just surrounding him, no guns out, just like, yo, like, you know, put the gun down, we can talk about this. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, deadly force was not an option as yet, and the man had a gun in his hand. He wasn't pointing at them, he had a gun in his hand. So, you know, but US police, he has a cell phone in his hand. It might be a gun.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't understand what world we live in where the option is to shoot first, ask questions later. Mm-hmm. A dead person can't answer no question.
Mm-mm. Maybe that's how they want it.
And my thing is, now you just go and you take a lady's son away from her.
Yeah. I don't know if you all remember, like, when that happened, something came to mind. The Dave Chappelle skit where police came to his house, right, and they knocked him out immediately. In his own house, right. And then when they looked at the wall and they saw his picture with his family up there, they were like, "Wow, this man is such a good robber. He actually put pictures of his family up on the wall." Like, at no point in the at no point did they ever think he could own such a nice house. Mm-hmm. And I know it was like a skit by like Dave Chappelle, but it just rang through my mind that, you know, like,
let me see.
That's how they think.
Listen, think about it. Imagine you go, you get a nice apartment, you say, boy, that just up the road from the police station. Mm-hmm. I should be safe. And then I tell you up the road
just
from the
so police station. Just so y'all know, y'all can
stand. I can stand by the police station and throw a stone. And not only hit the building, I can probably break a window in the building. In the apartment
complex. That's how, It's on the same street as the police headquarters. Yeah. That's where.
Like, there's literally a parking lot in between the two of them. That another big parking lot, eh?
So knowing that it's so close to the police station, one.
Why take 4 minutes?
You're on a floor that's not the first floor, you know, not even the second or third floor, you know. I know black people in France can skill about four floors, but like, what floor was you on, the 14th?
I don't know if that's the case. I think it's the third or the third and the fourth.
The third and the fourth. Because I don't think that building is. Because I look at that building, not 14 floors.
I think it was the third floor. Again, and you see.
So
again.
I'm saying all this to say, right? The door lock, the building next to the police station, right? And you live on a floor that's not the first floor. So you didn't just walk into your apartment through a window, right? And it's still, when you opened the door that was not your door, and you saw somebody there, it never occurred to you, hey, how did you get in here?
You couldn't get in there
with your own key. You had to knock on the door.
It's not that alone. It's that you mean to tell me a robber so brave to rob an apartment complex that right next to the police station?
Mm-hmm. But the police station and is
after
also...
After he robbed it... He opened the door for you?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. The robber's really getting brave if it's that.
And even so, if the police station is your home, you know, and you have friends and people there, why wouldn't go and get somebody to come back with you because you think somebody is in your apartment?
Questions that need answers.
Because let me tell you, if I come up to my apartment and I feel like there's somebody... inside there, I opening the door, I knocking and telling them open the door, I went and get back.
Well, that's you as a civilian. I don't know how police are trained to think in their training, you know. I'm not sure how.
Unless she was doing all what she was doing, thinking it was her thing. But how many red flashes you need to get for you to not get them?
I honestly. And you always say, Vern, how you can think that way, you know,
you need to
see
it too
easy.
But you think because she's new in the
No, I think you see this red flashing thing, I'm not, that's even a problem for me, all right?
That's a problem for me.
I can tell you, them little key fob things, that can get demagnetized super easy. You put that next to your cell phone, that giving you a problem already, all right? My thing is,
did she not think somebody would open the door? Did she not think there was an intruder there? And he opened the door.
My thing is the fact that when the man opened the door,
you shot him.
You didn't ask a question. You didn't take a step back. You didn't tase. You just shoot. That's my thing. That's my issue there. That's what. So.
My problem is, like, is... there were many points in the situation where she could have, you know, not ended up at that point. So either she was on something or she have a serious mental issue. Because, like, not counting the key, like the floor, right? You have groceries in your hand, apparently somebody said, right? You knock on the door because you couldn't open it with your own key. So you knew somebody was in there. And you just shot the person first go around?
Yeah, well, but you see, that's why I tell you, my issue with the wrong floor and the wrong key. My issue is with the shooting.
Mm.
Because, look, you see, if you have groceries in your hand full of groceries, you come to the thing, you know, you're using your elbow, you try and bump the number there, you bump the wrong number. You haven't checked, you bump the wrong number. You just stand there, you waited for that to go, that stop. Bling, you walk out. Yeah, boy, on my floor. My door, 5 doors down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Reach there, try and fiddle with the key, with my bags in my hand, it ain't working. Red.
Let me just knock on the door.
You see my thing, let me just knock on the door. The man that's inside there, he could just open the door for me.
Knock, door open.
It's not who I expecting. Then
who's
I go
she
back.
Expecting?
Well, that's the thing. We don't know if she's living with somebody. That's what I'm saying. I need them answers. I need to know if she's living
with
somebody.
We also don't know if her door is 5 doors down on the floor below.
Exactly. I need them answers. I need to know is hers exactly below his. So she was walking based on muscle memory. You know, five doors, you know, muscle memory, you know, I walk five doors, then it's my door. Muscle memory. I want to know if she's living with somebody. So you're knocking on the door and you're expecting maybe your sister open the door or your husband open the door and then you see is not and that person open the door.
And the knock wasn't, hey, Daniel, open it for me. It was, come out.
No, but maybe I upset with you. No, think about it. I upset with you.
I find with you.
No, but open the damn door, man. Open the door. So you always...
No. You would talk to me like that through the door.
We're reaching like a fishing pool.
I don't say open the damn door, but you know how many times I go places, I come back, and for some reason, my key, like when it's really cold outside, the door doesn't give problems open. So I'm knocking on the door, but Anushka not here because she's sleeping. And I'm like, yo, are you serious, bro? Like, I'm out here in the cold. Like, hurry up. But
that's not
true. Nonetheless, I we need to know all them facts. Right now, we just speculating.
Another area of contention for me is I have been in many apartment complex, right? You know, through school, work life, etc. When you get off on, like, everybody have a way they just kind of personalize the front of their apartment in a way, like either intentional or non-intentional. They have that neighbor on your floor that always putting his garbage outside. They have that neighbor on your floor that still have his Christmas.
Not really on a. I get what you're saying.
If
you're not, if you just as when and say on autopilot, you ain't noticing that.
Well, maybe I just somebody that notices things, and I would feel like a police officer would also be someone who notices things. She was quick enough to draw her gun and put two shots in the chest.
That's why they preface it to y'all. She just got out of a 14-hour shift.
12.
Well, you see, 12. Some, unless I say 14. Nonetheless, she was there on a long shift. That's why they preface it like that for y'all. Trying to make y'all, you know, guys, you know, just take it easy. Just remember, it was a long shift for her. So maybe she, yeah. Like I say, at the end, me say, we need the information. And my issue is, you know what's my real issue here? Is the fact that then people are probably not going to release the information.
No, they absolutely.
That's my thing.
Because then other people,
they're going to do everything in their power to bury it or to convolute it.
Yeah, because even you see, new and different articles coming out, still trying and,
piece it together.
Paint her like, you know. Yeah. She is devastated, a Dallas police officer close to her said, who spoke on the condition of anonymity because she was not authorized to speak publicly. Yeah. She is so, so sorry for his family, right?
But here's my
thing. If you're so sorry, come on video and say...
It's not that her. Is she not authorized to speak on her behalf or speak publicly? Why are you even posting it to begin with? Not even why you're saying it. Why are you posting it? That's my issue. You see, like my thing, the media doing everything in their power is like the media versus the black people. That's what it is. The police and the media versus the black people.
Well, and somebody
in that equation, the black people will always lose because the media will do everything to spin it how the police want.
Well, and here's the other thing, right? What somebody was saying is, you know, the unfortunate thing as well is even when it gets to the courts, it's for white judges and white judges
to judge another white man, a jury of his own peers, of her own peers. People judging a white person.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, so they go get away with it. They think, well, you know, I can see where she's coming from. She feared for her life because you know black people are scary. That's what they probably say. Like, what the fuck? Nah, man. Like,
so,
something have to change.
So onto that with the. Okay, what should the outcome be? Because what they're proposing is...
The outcome should be not manslaughter. Because let me tell you something, if y'all didn't know. Manslaughter carries a sentence of 2 to 20 years with a fine of up to 10 grand. So you're telling me this woman can go to jail and get out after 2 years with good behavior, or she can possibly pay a fine and get off? That is bullshit, man. That woman have to go to jail. That's straight up murder. That ain't no manslaughter. That man have to go to jail. I said, how you been telling me there's a possibility you can get off after 2 years? Or they'll say, oh, well, she's a police and we can't, a police officer and we can't put her in the prison with the people that she put there because she may get injured and her life and whatever, whatever. What about the life she just take for no reason? The man's life not worth 10 grand, I can tell you that. It's priceless. And you just take his life away there. Yeah.
Adani?
Adani thinking hard.
Why?
Yeah, just taking it all in. Just taking it all in.
It's
very concerning because that's a situation that any of us can find ourselves in. Like, you home, somebody knock on the door, you open the door, yo, what's up? Babao. Like, you know, like, easily could happen to any one of us that live in an apartment complex with a police officer that works a long shift and forgets where their apartment and forgets where their apartment is.
That's madness. That is madness.
The real question becomes like, how do they even start to make it up to his mother and his family? Like, because they've been very adamant in saying she worked a long shift. Now, are police officers working too long? Shifts that are too long? Like, is this a fault of the actual police department? Are they liable? Like, you know, like, they were very adamant about saying she worked a long shift, forgive her, but are y'all pushing them too hard? Are y'all pushing officers that can't work long shifts too hard? And then you pushing them over the brink, you stressing them, you're not paying them enough. You know, a high stressful job.
Yeah.
So now then the Dallas PD becomes a factor in this, like, you know.
Let me see. All I need them to stop making this a thing about this long shift. That have nothing to do with it. Alright? I don't care how long a shift you work, there's a million other things you could have done.
But even what is your duty as a police officer? To protect and serve. Right? She wasn't doing that. And what if she wants to say she was protecting and serving herself? Were not in danger.
I tell you, you could have pepper sprayed the man.
You were not in
that
danger.
Would have been fine. He would have just have to wash his eyes out. His eyes would have burned him for a couple of days. You could have tased him. You know, he get a little zap. You know, you could have throw a battle behind him. Maybe he had a zikak on his head or something. But he would have been alive. But no, you reach for your gun and you shoot it. Like, that's the only option, they say. Like, they need to start training these police officers to know that is not the only option. And honestly, they need to stop hiring these ex-military people as police officers. Because these people coming back with PTSD, and then they're going out there on the streets, and every little thing scaring them, and they want to reach for the gun and shoot.
But even with other PTSD, right, when
They're angry, they all hyped up, they read, like, you all need to stop that.
But I think even if it's not military or whatever, the nature of the job, they need to start focusing on things like counseling and stress, you know, how you deal with stress and these kinds of things. They should almost, before you are allowed to go home, they need to check your stress levels or some shit like that.
You see, they say, because I was doing some reading again, they say, you know, an officer gets involved in a shooting, they require to go to X amount of counseling before they can go back and whatnot. But my thing is this counseling even working? Because to me, if the counseling working, you'll recognize, well, this person have serious trauma from this incident, and we cannot put them out there because they're more of a danger to the public than themselves. So clearly, that not working.
And they could also just be telling the counselors what they want.
Yes, and I understand.
Or they could be
that.
Just sitting down in the however many hours of the counseling and not talking about the actual problems.
Yes,
or not saying anything.
But the counselors themselves need to be able to notice when somebody's just telling you what they want, what you want to hear. You're supposed to be able to pick that up. That's your job. You're a counselor. If you can't pick that up, then what the hell, man? What?
Another area of contention for me is, why are police officers allowed to knock off their shift and still have all their police items? Like, it should be like any other job. You go back to the office, you drop your stuff, you pick up your bag, you change your clothes, and you head home. Like, you now off duty, you're tired, and you have all the same functionary as when you were on duty, including your service weapon. Now, if you say that your service weapon is, you know, for work, then if you're off duty, you should need it. And if you feel that you need your service weapon while you're off duty, then you should apply for your own personal firearm, as many of them have.
Well, may say hear that. They will argue that the reason why they don't make them drop their things off. No, well, not only that, but maybe sometimes some of them don't come to the precinct on the morning. Maybe they actually have go straight in the squad car and take off and go on the business where they have to patrol or go and serve warrants wherever they have to go, or sit on a highway and harass people and give them a ticket for going five over when you know damn well five over ain't that bad. You know,
I mean, if like you that. Live far away from the precinct, I understand that, but
next door. I hear what you're saying.
I don't know how it works. I'm not saying I know how it works. I'm not a professional, but to me, they have to come in to get briefed on these things in the morning in the first place. So that go leave where they go in and go there is like
I don't know. You know. I don't know about that one. I can't answer that one.
Yeah, and don't they need to get, you know, shifts assigned and all of that? I don't know how it works.
I can't answer that one. It probably depends on
where you are, what level you are, all of that.
I can't answer that. I'm not going to speculate on that one.
I'm just saying that the police of duty, right, after a long shift, there needs to be some kind of safeguard.
Let me say, it's off duty, on duty. Whether they off or on, I feel they need to have some safeguards. That's my thing. Whether they off or on. Like, they need to change up the way they train in the police. There's clearly, if by now they haven't realized there's something wrong in the way that they train in the police, because you mean to tell me, if I train you, why are you going out there and you're afraid of people? You the one with the gun.
But that's the thing.
And the taser, the pepper spray. You shouldn't be fearing for your life so much. You have bulletproof vests. You have a vehicle you can jump behind and, you know, like, you should not be the one that is afraid. So you should know how to de-escalate a situation and make it not require somebody brute force somebody shooting a gun, discharging a gun. Like, it's...
Yeah, that's the thing, de-escalation of the situation. Because you can be afraid, but you should be able to think through that fear and de-escalate the situation.
I don't know if y'all also saw the video. Like, here's a perfect example. With the pregnant lady in Orlando, the, like, white man who... It was something in a Walmart parking lot.
The white man and the fellow that say you do hit a pregnant lady.
Right.
Like, well, you see, if that's Florida. I go to be honest, I don't even talk about Florida. Florida is its own mess by itself with this stand your ground.
Shout out to all of our Florida people.
Florida is its own mess by itself because they have this whole stand your ground thing and, you know, people shooting people and just getting away with it
whatnot. No, but listen to what I'm saying. The black man who came and stepped in the situation, he was de-escalating the situation. He had a gun on him. Right? But he came and he put himself between the pregnant lady and the man, started calling the man out on what he was doing. The man was like, okay, the black man told the white guy, oh, if you want to, okay, you coming at me, hit me. The man hit him in the side, he punched him back, right? He never used his gun and he had his gun. And even the white man was shouted, oh, he has a gun. Somebody shot, it's legal, you know? You see, but he was de-escalating the situation.
I wouldn't necessarily call that de-escalating. That's not a matter of de-escalating. That's a matter of somebody being confident in that, I can fight you without having to pull a gun out.
Mm.
That's what was happening there.
Right.
The man had confidence in himself that he could handle the situation. And he didn't have to take his gun out.
And that's how police should feel.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
That's how police should feel.
That's what. They need to know how to de-escalate the situation, but they need to be confident in themselves that they can handle the situation and not have to pull a gun out. You don't have to pull a gun out for everything. You don't. Like I say, you have body armor. Since you're so quick to pull a gun out and shoot fast before, by the time somebody opens a door, you should be able to duck and roll and dodge from the get-go. I'm not saying like it's the Matrix, you know, you dodging bullets, but I guarantee you, if you duck, you roll, you do something, the person will miss you the first time. That'll give you enough time to, you know, get away, put some distance, and figure out what's your next move.
Mm-hmm.
You shooting right away? Nah, man, nah. Americans need to do better. Let me tell you that. America on a whole, America need to stop going out there and interfering in other countries' business and start looking at their own damn business.
Mm-hmm.
They need to train the police officers better. Plain and simple. No police officer should be out there so afraid that they have to pull a gun and shoot somebody right away.
The ironic part about this is America was questioning us about our policing in Russia.
And
the activities of our police officers.
Right. And refused to give them training or let them travel for
because
training.
Of
but
something.
At the rates, you know, we didn't training.
Yeah. Other countries in the world need to start doing to them what they're doing to us. So start banning them. Say, we don't want police officers here. Kick them out. You're killing people. Until you can stop that shit, stay in your country. Don't come over here in our country. Things like that. Because clearly, it just is not working. So you mean to tell me that because of that woman, the man become a hashtag?
And I think that's almost an even more disturbing thing.
Yeah?
Because it's like, it's just he just become another name and another hashtag.
Yeah.
Right. And we went to a vigil in Dallas last night, not knowing any better. You know, we were just like, okay, we're in Dallas. We know him, knew him. Let's go, you know, and lend our support. But it was organized by, you know, some, interest group. And it seemed like they were almost enforcing it being another hashtag and another name. Just like another one of our, good black men, you know, or whatever, gone, you know, against this police brutality. And y'all have to go out here and vote and, you know, da, 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 da. I understand what they're trying to do, but there's a time and place for everything. And like,
it's not even that, voting and go give them a murder no peace,
right?
Voting and giving them a murder no peace,
or his friends, or
his
best
friends. Voting, that's my thing. Like, I'm not saying like your car, you know, try and initiate a change in your system and whatnot, change is good and whatnot, but at the end of the day, okay, the system change and whatnot, his murder still low, harvesting.
Yeah,
you must still have to marry a son.
That's the truly sad part.
So my thing is, these people out there that was about all this change and, you know, and whatnot. Like, I would have preferred if these people were just out there, a moment of silence, you know, and, you know, or people just out there just sharing stories about them and like, yeah, you know, I remember when he had to do this for me, or, you know, that kind of thing. You didn't have the audacity to learn how to pronounce them name properly. I don't know. It's
true.
Yeah.
And to cut down, you know, his life in its prime, like, you know, your 20s are when you're supposed to be traveling, having fun, you know, being the best that you can be. And he was doing that.
And the man was being the best he could be.
Yeah. And then
they have no question about that.
Staying out of trouble, you know, being a model, Lucian, you know. And then out of nowhere, you know, you just somebody what? Just decide to.
I don't know. It's
on a mistaken door.
Yeah, it's very depressing and off-putting to see that, you know, people tell you, you know, go to school and get a good job and, you know, and you know, obey the rules and follow the law, and you get killed in your apartment. It's disturbing.
It's sad. People have this idea of what coming to America is, but a lot of it is just watching over your back.
Boy, well, now it is. Because before it wasn't always, like that.
Nah, it always has been. It's just now more open.
Yeah, it's more open. I guess you're right.
Like, things you can do in St. Lucia and the Caribbean, like, will get you killed in America. Like, you can imagine leaving your door open for the whole day in America. Like, just leaving your door wide open. Like, you do at home. Like, nothing. Yeah. You know, your gate open, your door open times, before that.
How many times I come back home at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, saying, and the front door wide open, eh?
Yeah,
TV on.
Yeah.
Everybody downstairs sleeping. How many times my father go and sleep? Keys in the van, glass down, wallet on the seat.
Your vehicle unlocked in your yard.
Yeah.
You can't do that in America. Your vehicle unlocked in your yard. Nice. You don't like that car? Like, you just want somebody to steal it so you can claim insurance? That's what they go tell you.
It's crazy.
We the third world countries, but I feel safer in a third world country than I do in America.
Without a doubt.
And, it's funny that you say that, because even with, friends wanting to visit St. Lucia and whatever, what did they ask you? Oh, is it safe?
Yeah, how's the crime rate down there?
A lot better than your zone. The police not killing us. Bro, the police are the biggest criminals in the U.S. right now, eh? Hands down, eh?
And that's the unfortunate thing, right? That we're at the point where we see cops and we are afraid. We don't see cops and feel safe.
Why? See police and you get on edge. Wondering if today is your day.
Yeah, like we were in, Danny, we were in Costa Vida. You were there when we were in Costa Vida and the cops came in to get food, right?
Immediately I tense up.
Right. Like, they were just coming to get food. You know, it wasn't no fake. And, like, I wasn't, you know, I was just, I tense, you know, I think as well. And I think one of them, like, either, like, smiled or acknowledged our presence. And I was like, you know, like, I was like, mornish. Like, what are they going to tell us? Like, don't talk to me. Don't look at me. Don't smell for me. Don't, you know, like, I am not here. I am one of the wall, you know.
Yeah, like, and when they talk to you, yes sir, good day sir, yes, mm-hmm. You have a good day sir, yeah, all right, cool. Yeah, don't make too much eye contact, don't do anything too crazy.
Because I think she asked us, is it good or something like that, or something, yeah.
I was like, it's good.
I don't know, like, I was in the fridge because you saw I was giving the lady recommendations on what to eat. So,
Danny and I are clearly...
Anushka, people
at the end of the day they are people.
It's not even that at the end of the day they are people. I inside of a restaurant. Like, really, like, what reason?
Vernon, he was inside of his apartment.
Yeah, but I'm not rushing you. I'm in a restaurant, I'm talking to you nicely.
But that's the entire point.
You have a bulge in your pants. I fear for my life. Bo.
You have a point there.
If they can't shoot you in your house, bro, there's no way they cannot shoot you. A restaurant even easy. Yeah, the fuck here is going to prick me with it.
You know, you say, oh yeah, it's really good, and you reach for something in your pocket like a loyalty card. Here, have a free one.
I fear for my life.
First of all, I'm not sure my loyalty card is any police officer.
But you know what I'm saying.
But the normal reaction when a police officer is behind you or you see one, shucks, I don't get a ticket. But like, I feel like for black people in America, it's like, shucks, I don't die today.
Yeah, it's true.
And that's whether you're Caribbean or you black or you African, wherever you're from and you're black, once you're in America, you're black. And I know co-workers have gotten beat up by the police. Like, left went back to Trinidad. Like, in Florida. And stuff like that never makes the news.
It's a crazy world we live in. That's the best I can sum it up. Eh?
Yeah.
Like, it's a crazy world we live in.
Yep.
Nowhere is safe.
No. So, as we kind of come to an end of this episode, we, I don't know, I think we still just want to remember, you know, the memory.
Honestly, any all Lucians listening, Mrs. Cheryl, your good stories about the man.
Yeah.
share your good stories about the man. Like, keep his memory. Just share your good stories.
You all have good stories. You all have good funny stories about him.
Just share your good stories about the man.
No.
I remember we really didn't like deal that well in
college.
Because, like, we were the older guys. Mm-hmm. They were the younger, annoying guys. You know? So, we used to get into, like, little fights in college and whatever. But once you had left, everybody had left college. And, like, I met him out. Like, he was really cool. And then I found out that his uncle was my father's good friend and whatever. So, every time I met him out, you know, jam, oi, you know, hug, everything safe. What are you doing, my G? Yeah. We go lineman. Are we cool? And I think once I met him with one of our other friends, and we were all in St. Lucia, and I feel like we went to some drink or somewhere. Something we did all together. And like, or it was a party by our house or something, I think. Oh. Yeah. Or like some kind of barbecue. And the chicken wasn't cooked properly. Don't tell her I said that. But, but you
person,
know, just like...
The person, you know who you are.
Oh, shit.
But, yeah, just good memories, good times, you know. And, like, once you're part of, like, St. Mary's College, like, that's you have to wear your
yeah.
and see your other St. Mary and college brother yeah. and not, you know, yeah, my G, like, everything's safe. Like, even though y'all didn't hang out, like, the fact that you're from SMC, St. Mary's College, I'm from SMC, we brothers. And, you know, that's all, like, you know, that's what it's about.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Anyway, guys, we've come to an end. You know,
we didn't want to have a. We're sorry, the episode is so. You know.
Well,
I'm sorry, it's somber.
Yeah, but I think we strive here, like, or I at least strive to be authentic. Like my.
Yeah.
Instagram
handle. I'm not saying we're not authentic. It's just that it's not our usual. You know. Energetic kicks. It's a more serious and it's a sad topic.
Yeah.
It's a I don't think anybody ever wants to be talking about somebody I know my age, die, get killed by a police officer. Mm-hmm. I think anybody wants to be talking about that. So
yeah,
you know, just sad times. Mm.
Okay.
Well, guys,
see you next time.
See you next week.